Ladies and gentlemen, we are back. It is noon on Wednesday, hump day, ladies and gentlemen. I got the sun. Finally, it's winter is nearing its end. Thank God. I'm David Solomon. It's beware of the Ides of March, ladies and gentlemen. Just a second. I'm David Solomon, Montreal. He is Cooper Scal in sunny, beautiful Florida. And one of the things that we love to do on the Rant Network, Matt. Love to talk about the topic. So in case you're new, this is a podcast hosted by us where we bring you unfiltered and uncensored conversations on a wide range of topics. Check out our YouTube channel and you'll find a whole slew of these things. We're dedicated to give you a platform to express your opinions, share your thoughts, experiences, and ideas, and hear from a variety of perspectives and, frankly, honest opinions. Join us today and every day when we're ranting as we dive into the latest news, pop culture, politics, finance today. So much more, from rants about the absurdity of modern life to discussions about the deeper issues affecting all of our societies. The Rant Network, folks, has you covered. Sit back, relax, enjoy, as today we go on a journey of discovery, exploration about banks. And I know you're probably sitting there going, what the hell? Who cares about a bank? A bank, it's where I put my money. It's where I hope to pull out my money. It's where I need a mortgage. It's where I might want to invest money in. Unless you're the 16th largest bank in the United States, called Silicon Valley Bank. Now, ladies and gentlemen, this is a bank that is a little bit unique because banks love to not give you money. If you're in Canada, where our banking system is so tight, if you're in technology, borrowing money from a bank is hell. However, in the United States, where the banking structure isn't as difficult as it is in Canada, some banks play by their own rules. They're relatively private, and they can almost do what they want. Stuart, that is part of the problem with SVB or Silicon Valley Bank, as they sank with billions of dollars in losses. Stuart, what's wrong with SVB?
All right. So, guys, as you may know, I'm a financial advisor. I deal in finance, so this is not a buy or sell. But I'm going to talk about more than just SVB, which is Silicon Valley Bank. I'm going to talk about Signature Bank. I'm going to talk about, there was a Bitcoin or a crypto bank that, so this is the three banks that have failed in the last 60 days. Yep, three banks. You know, and there's six more banks that have been downgraded by Moody's. You know, First Republic Bank, Commercial Bank, or Comerica Bank, sorry, Intrust National Bank, UMB Bank, Western Alliance Bank, Zions Bank. And yesterday, if you listened to any news station, you heard that Credit Suisse has been talking about problems. But this banking problem isn't a bank problem. It is a rules problem over underlying assets. What do I mean by that? Banks are required to have what's called safe investments. That would be like U.S. Treasury. Right? U.S. treasuries are a safe investment. But when the value, you know, for example, when rates go up, values go down. But at maturity, they get the full value. And where this blows up, which was the death of SVB and Signature Bank, is when there's what's called a run on the bank to withdraw liquid cash, which means they would have to sell out secured investments at a loss. So wait a minute. The government dictates you have to buy these secure notes that pay little or no interest. And when there's a run at a bank, meaning there's more withdrawals than there are liquid capital, it becomes an insolvency. That's really what went on at SVB and Signature Bank. Now, they were, let's say, a little looser by design. You know, David, I'll let you talk about some of the major keynote people that were using these banks. And you know what's different from the 1980 savings and loans run on banks or the 2008 run on banks is that today you can empty a bank account by billions in literally minutes. Mm-hmm. And the minute that this started happening, every board of director was like, we need to collapse our account and move it to a higher ranked bank. You know, and so that causes the run on the bank because let's be honest, no one's putting, you know, a couple hundred million under their mattress, right? No. Now, FDIC says that you're insured every account for $250,000 if you're an individual, not if you're a corporation either, right? You have to cover other insurance for that. But needless to say, your working capital is now all locked up and you're unable to make payroll, unable to pay mortgages, rent, operating expenses. It becomes an utter shit show.
Mm-hmm.
Now, so I'm not encouraging a run at a bank or any of these 6-7 banks that I mentioned, but when Moody downgrades them, they're looking at the assets of how many retail customers versus corporate clients. It takes a lot more retail clients to empty their accounts than it does one corporate account, right? So David Solomon has $1 million in the bank, where Roku had $300 million in the bank. So when David takes out $1 million, there's got to be 300 David Solomons to equate to the same damage. And the likelihood of that happening is very, very slim. And again, these are all numbers. Now, what the government did is it now created a sub-fund to cover temporary borrows against those assets that are not liquid at that value. In other words, they've now exacerbated this problem, setting it up for an even bigger collapse, I think, in future, by allowing people to borrow 100% of a value of something that's not worth the same amount of money at some point in the future. They're forgetting the calculations of rising interest rates, inflation, which affect everything, and operating expenses. It also permits banks that are running looser and tighter in the range, like unlike a JP Morgan that's more conservative in the range, to be more reckless. And Biden took it one step further, saying, I'm going to guarantee all the investments by the faith of the U.S. government. Let me tell you something. That is one of the most insane comments that a delusional, senile man that has an open, denied border that is allowing everything to blow up. Okay? David, this is the single most destructive set of decisions I have ever seen. Now, a lot of the left is blaming the Fed for breaking the system. The Fed didn't break the system. The U.S. government broke the system. Donald Trump's administration, bipartisan, removed some of the Dodd-Frank, bipartisan removed, that didn't cause this problem either. But the rapid rising of inflation is what literally caused this fracture in the banking system, and the rest is all viral.
Okay, you're right. And I think that you have a lot of these experts who are saying that thank you to the Fed for jacking up interest rates and really in such an accelerated pace to slow the economy down, they've hurt banks. There's no doubt about it. And there are a lot of these experts are saying, well, what took so long for a bank to collapse? But there's another problem. And this is something that unfortunately is getting buried. And that is, what is the motivation of a bank? And one of the accusations, and you hear very, very much being pushed by the Biden administration, is this woke concept of equality, diversity, and inclusivity. And this has to be every corporation's priority. And when you do that, you divert attention, you divert from the focus of any company, especially a bank, which is to generate profit. And one of the comments you hear is that so many resources were put into EDI, you know, equality, diversity, and inclusivity, that it literally took away from running a bank. The decisions made to run a bank were predicated on EDI as opposed to profiting. So here we are. And Bernie Marcus, the former co-founder of Home Depot.
Home Depot.
He basically ripped the Biden administration for promoting this, and then the banking institutions for following such, you know, stupid ideas of let's abandon profitability because we should really worry about EDI. And yes, he did rip apart the Biden administration about, you know, escalating inflation or whatever. But let's take another person. How about Mr. Wonderful. How about the fact that, you know, Kevin O'Leary, who a lot of people hate because of his persona on television, and folks, please, like the persona on Shark Tank versus the persona that he really is, it's very, very different. It's not about politics. He says it's about, like, what did you just do? You know, what you basically did was you messed up a system. The FDIC was put into place after, if I'm not mistaken, the Great Depression to secure and ensure that people don't lose their investments. But here the government, using your taxpayer money, is going to bail out these corporations regardless of their financial.
Exactly.
Like, that's where this is an absurdity. The Biden administration, who on from the left side of his mouth is saying we're going to force rich corporations and people to pay out and they're due in taxes. And on the other hand, he's going to take your hard-earned money that you don't have.
Hang on, you got it a little wrong. He is going to force the FDIC to reimburse these people. Which is going to turn into the equivalent of a flat tax that the banks are going to pass on to every depositor in the bank.
In other words, now your fees are going up, right?
Oh, there's no doubt that the fees are going up. The lending is going to get even harder. And you want to know something? I can't wait till they look at the balance sheet of Equality in lending, because let's face it, where is the bottom tier of lending and where has it been for the last 100 years?
Here's the question. Okay, so corporations who are, for example, in technology, and we know that technology companies with no assets, with no inventory, have the darndest time of borrowing money. And this is where SVB was actually good for the technology sector. Now what you're going to hear is, oh, no, we're not going to take that risk anymore because of, and therefore, we're not going to lend you money because, like, you know what, this unfortunately, and I want to thank the Biden administration once again for not thinking through this. And, you know, you're playing politics over sensibility. And, you know, the Fed jumped on board and tried to say, I got what to report. But guys, what does a bank collapse do? Creates uncertainty in a time where there's rampant inflation and people can't afford anything. Do you think they're going to put money into banks right now? No, they're going to put, like you said, they're going to put the money under their mattress because they're going to be afraid of putting the money into the bank.
But hang on a second. Don't you get it? This is called master manipulation. Remove the narrative. Like, you know what? This is almost a textbook move to take away the attention from all the other problems that the Biden administration has caused. This banking crisis is going to dominate the news cycle, I'm telling you, probably straight until September.
Well, unfortunately, I got to tell you, it isn't dominating as much as you hope it would. Because in looking at other, you know, news platforms and what have you, as soon as you know there's a problem with the Democrats, and as soon as there's a finger pointing towards the Biden administration, we need to bury the story. And there is no conversation here about, you know, I don't want, you know, well, in Canada, our banks don't default because it's so harshly overregulated and it makes it so hard for companies to borrow money. But on the other hand, Stuart, you know, in the United States, they want to create a similar system. I think this is a disaster. You guys, the sensibility, these are private institutions. And when government gets involved, we know what happens, Stuart. We know what they end up doing. They generally screw this up. And the Democrats have been classic screw-ups. Stuart, last word?
You know, where's Bernie Sanders and AOC in the squad?
Bernie Sanders is shitting all over this, by the way. He wants more government regulation. That's the problem.
All right. Oh, boy.
Ladies David? And gentlemen, listen, we got to wrap this up here, folks, because it's another Wednesday. We're done for. And as a result, you've got a taste of today's episode, and we hope you've enjoyed tuning in and listening to our rant from today, just talking about finance, but we'll go all over the board. So please come back again on Friday, next Monday, next Wednesday, next Friday. And we hope you gain some valuable insights from Stuart's, you know, expertise, but also from some insights into what we've talked about today. We appreciate your support. Join us again, as I said, for all those thought-provoking conversations on Monday, Wednesday, Friday, noon Eastern, or catch a recording on our YouTube channel, Rumble channel, all over the place. Our Rant Network new website is close to being live. In the meantime, don't forget, follow us, click us, like us, share us. You know what to do. I don't have to tell you what to do on social media. We're always interested in hearing from you, so send us your comments and your messages. On that note, ladies and gentlemen, love you, leave you. We'll see you next time. Cheers.